Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
And so here it starts again, just as if it were a weekly series or something. Ladies and gentlemen, the new F-bomb. And that is, of course, our friends in the foreclosure world, which does sound like a theme park of the future. We'll see. The former president of a mortgage document processing company has been sentenced to up to 20 years in prison on a racketeering charge way up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Lorraine Brown pleaded guilty in February, but was just recently sentenced. The attorney general's office said she was sentenced in Kent County. She's ordered to serve between 40 months and 20 years. I'd pick the 20. The state says the 51-year-old Brown orchestrated a robo-signing scheme in which employees fraudulently signed another authorized person's name on mortgage documents to expedite foreclosures. This was for a company called DocX, a subsidiary of Lender Processing Services. You've heard Eve Smith mention it in her discussions of the F-bomb on this broadcast. DocX's main business was fabricating missing documents. So Brown orchestrated this, the robo-signing. Who orchestrated the rest? Who orchestrated the existence of DocX and the hiring of it by banks? Brown pleaded guilty to a federal charge in Florida last year and reached a plea agreement on related state charges in Missouri. So she's a serial violator. And the Michigan Attorney General reached a $2.5 million civil settlement with Lender Processing Services. So the woman goes to jail, Lorraine Brown. But the company gets a civil penalty. Well, that's civil. And Dateline Orlando, Florida, a man who made loan modification payments on time and even early. Oh, well, there's your mistake right there. He says Wells Fargo stopped taking payments and started foreclosing on his house. Etienne Sildor says he's worked his whole life for a home in Orlando. We would review that judgment, maybe. He's an immigrant from Haiti and a bus driver at Disney World. He's worked multiple jobs to make sure he never missed a mortgage payment. Last year, Wells Fargo offered him mortgage modification, which reduces your payments. He was told if he made four monthly payments during a trial period, the mod would be permanent. He not only made the payments on time, according to court records, but paid early and more than he was required to. He didn't miss any, and he overpaid. So the bank suddenly stopped taking his payments and sent him a letter telling him Wells Fargo was starting to foreclose. For some loans, completing trial payments is a significant step toward a permanent mod, says Wells' spokesperson. However, in this instance, the loan was part of a mortgage-backed security and in a protected pool with specific payment guidelines. He didn't follow the modification guidelines, according to the bank, because he paid early. Because they sliced and diced his mortgage and sold it off. You see? Because they care. Only because they care. Otherwise, you know, it'd be something to criticize. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
I guess I'm just lucky so-and-so.
Last week, or last time, we reviewed the insidious practice of beginning answers and questions with the word so. We concentrated on an American broadcaster. So this week, we travel across the pond for two prime examples of the initial so. Not a conclusion, just the start of things. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some answers, beginning with so. Coming right up.
The BBC has spent £100 million on an IT project called the Digital Media Initiative, a project which has had to be scrapped. Alex Budzier is at Oxford University Said Business School and has carried out the largest academic study of IT projects. So what do you make of what happened?
There was two things, actually, that really struck me.
No, but now Here's more.
I'm joined by Ingrid London, who writes for TechCrunch and who knows about these things. Right, Ingrid, in a nutshell, if you can, what is Tumblr?
So, first of all, Tumblr is a micro-blogging platform.
Okay. What is Yahoo trying to achieve here?
So, I think that the main reason, there are two reasons why Yahoo has acquired Tumblr.
What will the very engaged, young, hip Tumblrs make of advertising served them by?
So this is the rub. So the problem with it is that ever since, so the news of Yahoo's interest in Tumblr started to leak out days before they made the news official. In that time, the users of Tumblr went bananas.
So what, when Melissa Mayer said she didn't intend to screw it up, what was she referring to?
So I think she's very much referring to that. So yes. So, you know, they're still working on it. It's basically a very, very much a long-term strategy.
Okay. So we don't have long now.
No kidding. And I think you've run out of sows. Hello, welcome to the show. Sending some sunshine to London. Got plenty of sunshine to spare here from the shores of Lake Pontchartrain, Louisiana, in New Orleans. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And let us try. The slogan of the United States Army Corps of Engineers, ladies and gentlemen, introduces the next segment of our show. Without the song, I know. I miss it, too. Work on the controversial... This is, I guess, good news because it's bringing what New Orleans and some other areas have experienced at the hands of the Let Us Try people home to Washington, D.C. Work on the controversial 17th Street levee in Washington, designed to prevent floodwaters from surging across the mall into downtown Washington, has stopped, according to the Corps of Engineers, and it's not clear when the project will resume. The levee is more than a year and a half behind schedule. Really? The Corps of Engineers behind? And last month, the Corps fired the chief contractor after no significant work had been done for several months, says Chris Augsburger, spokesman for the Corps' Baltimore district. The $4.1 million project, please, they spend that here, they waste more than that here every day, is 75 to 80% complete, but has become an eyesore. The area is one of the most heavily traveled and sensitive areas on the mall, where throngs of visitors daily romp, according to the Washington Post. It's a daily romp in Washington. It's been a few months that we've not seen significant work, said Augsburger. It's an important project for the city. The Corps is overseeing the project, which has been at least 5 years in the making. Sounds like the Corps to me. And to you. And temporary pumps here in New Orleans on the London Avenue Canal will be replaced with permanent structures, according to local television station 8. For the first time, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says the hurricane risk reduction system in New Orleans will be finished this season. They're saying that despite the fact that the barge gate at the heart of it has not yet worked. Quote, I'm confident in saying by the 1st of June this hurricane season, the entire system will be complete, says Colonel Ed Fleming, commander of the Corps New Orleans District, who I believe, conveniently enough, is leaving to go to Washington, where he can supervise. Yes, the Corps has fired up the pumps on the world's largest drainage pumping station over the Gulf Intracoastal Waterway on the New Orleans West Bank, which, of course, is east of downtown. So they're saying it's ready. Continued construction left gaps in the system last year, which the Corps plugged with giant sandbags and sheet pilings. Fleming says those measures will not be required this season. And that, those words you can take to the bank. Unfortunately, the bank engages in robo-signing. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
A bumper crop of apologies this week because we didn't have any last week. Nutty. Deadline Washington, the ousted head of the Internal Revenue Service, apologized this week for the agency's foolish mistakes, quote, in its handling of conservative groups applying for tax-exempt status, attributing the IRS actions to a misguided pursuit of efficiency rather than partisan targeting. Stephen Miller, the IRS acting commissioner, appeared before the House Ways and Means Committee and delivered his apology and his explanation. It's just, they're trying to be too efficient, too damn efficient. Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries has issued an official statement in light of the recent backlash surrounding comments he made in 2006 about his brand's target audience. The apology isn't necessarily solving the PR problem. Quote, I want to address some of my comments that have been circulating from a 2006 interview, he says. While I believe this resurrected quote has been taken out of context, I sincerely regret that my choice of words was interpreted in a manner that has caused offense. He went on to call Abercrombie & Fitch an aspirational brand that targets its marketing at a particular segment of customers. We're completely opposed to any discrimination or bullying. The quotes from the interview revealed Jeffries had once admitted that he only wanted, quote, the cool and popular kids to shop at his stores. A lot of people, he said, don't belong and they can't belong. Are we exclusionary? Absolutely, unquote. But he's sorry now. But he still means it. Air Force Chief of Staff General Mark Welsh apologized this week for comments he made last week that a hookup mentality among America's youth might be responsible for some sexual assaults in the military. The comments were criticized by members of Congress and victims' advocacy groups. The Air Force's top general, meeting with reporters, said he was sorry to the victims of sexual assault who saw his comments as blaming victims. Boy, am I, in view of the fact there are victims who took what I said as blaming them, boy, am I sorry about that. There is nothing farther from the truth as far as how I personally feel or how any service chief or commander in our Air Force feels. He was explaining that he was trying to explain the cultural piece of the sexual assault problem. And when you want to understand the cultural piece of a problem, you turn to the Air Force Chief of Staff, of course, ladies and gentlemen. The editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News, Matthew Winkler, has apologized for allowing journalists at the company to access some information about individual subscribers to the Bloomberg Terminal, a little box, electronic box that companies pay $20,000 to have at their trading desks so Bloomberg News can spy on them. Journalists at the company were able to access some personal information and log in activity as executives at major Wall Street firms and even potentially government agencies in an effort to get scoops on big stories. Mayor Mike Bloomberg of New York is hands off the whole thing. He's worrying about size of sodas. Deadline Bern, Switzerland. Swiss broadcaster SRF has apologized for adding fake crowd noise to try and liven up its coverage of the Zurich Derby, which kicked off in a near-deserted stadium. I think we already had this apology. That came back up. Dateline Miami. Miami Heat's middle finger lady. No, had that too. All right. South Korea's leader, President Park Geun-hye, has struggled to contain the biggest setback of her 3 months in office, offering her apology over a scandal in which her main spokesman was accused of sexual abuse and indecent exposure in a Washington hotel during her state visit last week. The spokesman, Yoon Chang-jung, was fired, and he returned home before the state visit ended. Korean newspapers covered the scandal in front-page headlines, and blogs brimmed with criticism over, quote, national humiliation, unquote. I'm sorry that an unsavory incident, which a public servant should never be involved in, occurred near the end of my visit to the U.S. and greatly disappointed the people, said Ms. Park at the beginning of her meeting with senior secretaries. The case caught fire partly because of mounting frustration in South Korea over the widespread tendency among men, especially those in power, to trivialize the harassment of young women. Couldn't happen here. One of Japan's leading politicians has apologized for suggesting U.S. servicemen should visit brothels in his prefecture. But he stopped short of apologizing for saying that wartime sex slaves were a necessary evil. Osaka Mayor Toru Hashimoto claimed American soldiers should go to legal sex businesses in the southern prefecture, home to three-quarters of America's Japanese military bases, to channel their sex drive and prevent sex assaults against local women. He told the U.S. military commander in Okinawa, soldiers are put in extreme situations. They're overflowing with energy. We have to think about the way they can let it out somewhere. He told Japanese reporters that when he made the suggestion earlier this month, the commander appeared frozen, smiled wryly, and said it is banned. A Pentagon spokesman later called the suggestion ridiculous. Hashimoto said later, the word sex businesses was inappropriate. I must apologize to the U.S. military and American people and retract my comment. But he refused to retract the other comments about sex slaves. Up to 200,000 women, mainly from Korea and China, were forced to become prostitutes for Japanese soldiers in military brothels during the war. Two former sex slaves, now both in their 80s, called publicly for Hashimoto to resign. Paula Broadwell, the woman at the center of the sex scandal that led to David Petraeus' resignation from the CIA, has spoken publicly for the first time about the affair. She apologizes for the harm she caused to the families involved. Quote, I have remorse for the harm that this has caused, the sadness this has caused in my family and other families, she said. She's sorry. I am the first to admit I've made mistakes and I'm regretful for the pain I've caused, but at some point, again, you pick yourself up, face forward, and keep moving. And then she said a lot of other stuff about healing and her journey. Boy, they all got to stop reading from the same press release at some point, don't you think? Deadline Idaho. Falls, Idaho, an advertisement on area radio stations has upset a large group of parents with special needs children. The parents said the ad uses a hurtful phrase and labels their kids. The commercial triggered such a huge response because it uses the phrase, quote, short bus, unquote, a derogatory term used for kids in special ed programs. The commercial says, are you driving a wimpy truck? Do your kids take the short bus so they won't be seen in it? The advertiser, Cole Chevrolet, is teaming up with one of the parents that protested to help the Special Olympics of Eastern Idaho. For myself, my team, Cole Chevrolet, we just hope everyone understands it's a mistake, it's been taken care of, and we're definitely sorry, said a spokesperson. The United States has apologized for leaking information about Israel's alleged attack on a convoy of weapons in Syria bound for Hezbollah terrorists several weeks ago. This is confusing enough. According to reports, the leak about the U.S. leak came from an Israeli radio correspondent who listed details of the leak and the apology. Did you follow that at all? Nor I. The reporter, diplomatic correspondent for Israel Radio, tweeted, U.S. officials said they would review the matter. The leak forced Assad to react harshly. According to Pentagon sources, the tweets by the correspondent were true. The U.S. has apologized to Israel for the leak, which could have put Israeli lives in danger. Pentagon is investigating the matter. Israel has still not confirmed it was involved in the attack. Good night. Chrysler and Fiat CEO Sergio Marchionne has apologized to the Italian-American One Voice Coalition for using a term offensive to Italian-Americans during an interview conducted at the North American Auto Show in Detroit. During a roundtable discussion with reporters, Marchionne was discussing a new Alfa Romeo car to be sold in the U.S. when he said, quote, with all due respect to my American friends, it needs to be a WAP engine, unquote. Marchionne's use of the term was intended to convey that a Fiat-designed engine would be better than an American engine for this particular model. The term, however, is supposedly offensive to Italian Americans and others, and Marchionne has apologized in a letter dated May 15th. The Italian American One Voice Coalition said they jumped on it immediately. Wait till they find out what they used to call Italian salads in New Orleans. Marchionne's letter apologized and acknowledged his remark was unacceptable and apologized to anyone who may have been offended. The term is said to be short for without papers, according to the Urban Dictionary. Did you know that? See, you learned this is an educational program after all, despite all intentions. Dateline Iraq. Iraq's foreign minister apologized to Jordan for an incident where cadres of the Iraqi embassy in Amman, the Jordanian capital, attacked Jordanian activists during a function held in the capital a couple weeks. No, last week. Iraqi foreign minister Hoshyar Zebari passed on the apology to his Jordanian counterparts for the actions committed by security personnel of the Iraqi ambassador, Iraqi official sources told Jordan News. That nutty Iraq, huh? Dateline Washington, a federal judge apologized this week for an 18-month delay in unsealing documents in a case involving an alleged leak of classified information to a reporter. The documents include two warrants and related materials for the email accounts of Stephen Kim, the State Department advisor who faces charges of leaking secret information about North Korea to Fox News reporter James Rosen. The warrants and materials had originally been ordered unsealed a year and a half ago. They were unsealed this week. Royce Lamberth, the chief judge of the U.S. District Court in Washington, said that a series of administrative errors by the court's staff caused the delay. Apparently, they were trying to be too efficient. Dateline Boston, Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam has said he has apologized to fellow NFL owners for any embarrassment caused by the federal probe of his chain of truck stops. Stay classy, NFL. Dateline England, the head of the European Golf Tour, has apologized for using the term colored during a live television interview this week in which he was reacting to the spat between Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia. Who knew? European Tour CEO George O'Grady said that, quote, most of Sergio's friends are colored athletes in the United States. I deeply regret using an inappropriate word in a live interview for Sky Sports, for which I unreservedly apologize, O'Grady, who is British, said in an interview, said in a statement issued the next day. If you don't believe in karma, think again. Joe Francis, the founder of Girls Gone Wild, the video empire, has apologized Thursday for an interview in which he claimed that the retarded jurors who recently convicted him of imprisoning three women should be shot by firing squad. Quote, I deeply regret the remarks attributed to me in the interview with The Hollywood Reporter, he wrote in a statement. They were hurtful and do not reflect my true feelings. While I disagree with the jury's verdict, as I am completely innocent of the charges and intend to appeal... Good to sneak that into the apology, babe. Nice work. I was afforded a fair trial, and if I lose at the appellate level, I will reluctantly but fully accept the jury's verdict. He says the quotes were picked out of a six-hour interview about the trial in his recent life. He complained the comments had been manipulated by the media. My comments are appalling, but anyone who has ever been wrongfully convicted of a crime that they did not commit would be as frustrated as I am. So the founder of Girls Gone Wild, yeah, went wild. A once prominent swimming coach who trained thousands of children was sentenced to 7 years in prison this week for sexually abusing one of the girls he instructed. Richard J. Curl, who last year was banned for life from the sport by USA Swimming, apologized for abusing the girl over a four-year period in the 1980s. The abuse started when she was 13 and took place in their respective homes, inside his private school office, and at hotels where they stayed for swim meets. He was charged last year after the allegations of abuse against the woman became public. And one of these days, probably not on the radio, I'll tell you about my high school swimming instructor. It's a cute story. It is a cute story. And I don't say that lightly or heavily. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, we're not number one. Canada ranks third to last among economically advanced countries in the amount of paid vacation time that it guarantees its workers, according to a new U.S. study. Canada ranks ahead of only Japan and the United States. Almost one in four Americans has no paid vacation, 23%, and no paid holidays, 22%, says the report, which was published by the Center for Economic and Policy Research. There are no government standards in the U.S. for paid vacation and paid holidays. Japan requires 10 days paid vacation for workers. Unlike Canada, has no paid statutory holidays. The U.S., the no-vacation nation, doesn't guarantee any paid vacation. The country with the highest number of days off for workers for paid vacations, France, followed by the U.K., Norway, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, Germany, Austria, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Belgium, New Zealand, Ireland, Australia, Greece, the Netherlands, and way down there at the bottom, the United States of America. So just to review, ladies and gentlemen, we're not number one. And now, 3 decades after Ronald Reagan launched his Star Wars project, the missile defense program has become a pillar of U.S. strategy despite lingering doubts about its technology. This is a report from the French news agency Agence France-Presse, because why should American news media cover the fact that we are spending billions on a technology that numerous experts question if it even works? The project still requires a daunting technical feat to hit a ballistic missile traveling outside the atmosphere with another missile. We do have confidence in the ability of the ballistic missile defense system, says Lieutenant General Richard Formica, family name, I guess, or named after the table, commander of U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command. We're now supposed to be protected against an attack from North Korea and Iran, even though there's no evidence that either nation has missiles that could reach the United States yet. But let's spend some money. There is no sign that, quote, any of the fundamental unsolved problems associated with high-altitude ballistic missile defenses have been solved, says Professor George Lewis, a physicist at Cornell, and Theodore Postol, a professor at MIT, in a 2010 report. The Pentagon's tests offer only, quote, the appearances of success, according to them, as the trajectory, the timing of the launch, and the type of missile being fired are all known in advance. The tests are organized in carefully orchestrated scenarios that have been designed to hide fundamental flaws, they write. The ground-based interceptors cost $70 million each, so far have demonstrated a limited capability against a simple threat due to immature technology, that according to the Pentagon itself. The Government Accountability Office has voiced concern over performance delays and, in some cases, performance shortfalls. Skeptics of the project say adversaries could undercut the system simply by launching a barrage of missiles, attacking radars, or employing decoys. The program, started in the 1980s, has cost at least $158 billion so far. No, we couldn't use that money for schools. You can't shoot schools into space. Other estimates put the price tag higher. The budget crisis has hardly affected the program. According to one expert, trying to hit an incoming warhead in space is, quote, a very difficult problem. I don't envision it being solved because it's not an engineering problem. It's a physics problem. This country can solve physics problems. With enough money, we can abolish physics. Take it from me. A little more sunshine for London.
Thank you.
from sunny New Orleans. This is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. You've heard of the bank HSBC. You may have seen their clever, clever ads. Well, their controversial $1.9 billion settlement deal with U.S. authorities over money laundering charges has stalled after a row between the Justice Department and the judge overseeing the case, according to The Guardian newspaper in London. The deal, a deferred prosecution agreement. Wouldn't you like to have one of those when you do something wrong? Sure you would. Means that HSBC was exempt from prosecution and it triggered a storm of criticism. Judge John Gleeson is now believed to be considering rejecting the deal, a move that could leave HSBC facing a criminal prosecution and the threat that its charter to do business in this country could be revoked. U.S. authorities reached the deal originally with HSBC last December after uncovering evidence the bank had illegally conducted transactions on behalf of Mexican drug lords, terrorists, and customers in Cuba, Iran, Libya, Sudan, and Burma, countries that were subject to U.S. sanctions. Judge Gleeson was a former prosecutor who made his name prosecuting drug rings and organized crime, including the conviction of John Gotti. The Justice Department is believed to be challenging the need for Gleeson's approval for the agreement. The agreements are an increasingly common settlement which allow a company to pay a fine to stop a criminal prosecution. Get me one of those, would you please, Mr. Attorney General? I would like one of those. It'd be so nice. The UK's support for the CIA's global rendition program after the September 11th terrorist attacks on the U.S. was far more substantial than has previously been recognized, according to a new research project that draws on a vast number of publicly available data and documentation. Evidence gathered by the rendition project highlight 1,600 flights in and out of the UK by aircraft now known to have been involved in CIA's secret kidnap and detention program, sending detainees to countries where they were, in many cases, tortured to get some kind of testimony. While many of those flights may not have been involved in rendition operations, the researchers behind the project have drawn a testimony from detainees, Red Cross reports, courtroom evidence, flight records, and invoices to show at least 144 were entering British airspace while suspected of being engaged in rendition operations. The CIA used UK airports for refueling and overnight stopovers. There's no evidence that any landed in the UK with prisoners on board. If they did, there would be trouble, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, here's John Kerry, who is in Nigeria at this moment. He's become a very peripatetic Secretary of State since he took office, and making his first official trip to sub-Saharan Africa, Kerry demanded yesterday that Nigeria respect human rights as it cracks down on Islamic extremists, and pledged to work hard in the coming months to ease tensions between Sudan and South Sudan. Kerry was attending the African Union's 50th anniversary. Oh, and I didn't get a card. He backed the Nigerian government's efforts to root out Boko Haram, an al-Qaeda-linked radical sect, but he said there's no excuse for abuses by armed forces in the north. One person's atrocities do not excuse another, he said. Revenge is not the motive. It's good governance. He wants Nigerian officials to insist on the military, quote, adhering to the highest standards of human rights. All right, then. We have this quote from President Obama this week as he spoke on the subject of a new direction for the so-called war on terror.
And in some cases, I believe we compromised our basic values by using torture to interrogate our enemies and detaining individuals in a way that ran counter to the rule of law.
So there's President Obama saying we use torture. Said, I think that's the first time he said it plain flat out like that, looking backward for a moment. So here's from the United Nations Convention Against Torture, 1984, signed by the U.S. in 1988 by Ronald Reagan. Ratified by the Senate in October 1994, Democratic-controlled Senate. Each state party shall take effective legislative, administrative, judicial, or other measures to prevent acts of torture. the prohibition shall be absolute and shall be upheld in a state of war and in other exceptional circumstances. No state party may expel or extradite a person to a state where there are substantial grounds for believing he would be in danger of being subjected to torture, i.e., rendition. Each state shall ensure that acts of torture are serious criminal offenses. Each state party shall take a person suspected of the offense of torture into custody and make a preliminary inquiry into the facts. Each state party shall ensure its authorities make investigations when there is reasonable ground to believe that an act of torture has been committed. President Obama said torture was committed by this government. Where's the investigation? Senator Kerry, maybe you should be lecturing your boss. It's just me. A series of public inquests should be held into the deaths of civilians who are alleged to have been killed unlawfully by the British military following the 2003 invasion of Iraq, according to the British High Court. More news from outside the bubble. More good Iraq stuff. And, of course, in Washington, as the scandals or the reported scandals continue, there are people who compare President Obama to Richard Nixon. At a Rose Garden meeting with reporters, Obama said, "I'll let you guys engage in those comparisons. You go ahead and read the history, I think, and draw your own conclusions." The interesting thing is there's a tape available of Nixon in heaven doing exactly that.
So, aside from that one event in Washington in January.
Yeah.
So far as we've been able to determine.
Yeah.
No other celebrations of the centenary.
Of my birth.
That's right.
Nothing in Whittier.
Well, in fairness, you weren't born in Whittier.
Well, damn it, don't you think I know that?
No, I know.
I went to school there, I gotta say.
Yeah.
But still.
Still, nothing shows up in the database. Now, admittedly.
No, I know.
We don't have.
No, they don't let us have.
Lexis, Nexus up here, or whatever it's called.
No. Now, if you remember, when we originally agreed to come in here, part of the deal was that they offered us.
No, that's right.
Our own proprietary.
Our own database, that's right. Yeah.
What was it, Nixus Lexus?
Something like that.
Well, whatever it's called, don't we? We don't have that?
Yes, but it's only a database about you and what you've done. So.
So any celebrations of that?
That wouldn't be entered into.
Well, damn it! I remember me and what I've done. Mm-hmm. What the hell need do I have for.
Well, if you remember, we weren't in the most enviable bargaining position during the time we were being considered for admission up here. And
no, of course we weren't.
No.
They read the media up here. Everybody knows that.
That's right.
See these so-called angels flying around. They've all got a copy of the goddamn New York Times under their wing.
Mm-hmm. Usually their left wing.
Yep. More truth than poetry there.
Well, there wasn't any
truth. So this Obama thing.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Well, the whole deal is like something out of Laugh-In or something. I mean, yeah. A black man as president, and then they're comparing him to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, in 500 years, that sort of thing is entirely possible, having the right kind of education and upbringing and so forth. But
don't think the comparison with you was meant to be favorable, per se.
No. Well, I mean, how could it be?
No.
I mean, I opened the door to China, for God's sake.
That's right.
From what I've seen, this fella can't even get peace with honor in Afghanistan.
Well, in fairness, he did extend the war through his election campaign, which was...
No, I know.
Right out of our playbook.
Well, I know.
So, at least on that score...
Absolutely.
But I think the point is that they're not comparing him to you to show what an effective, tough, and smart president he is.
Well, again, yeah. Maybe in 500 years.
But no, they're making the comparison to show how, you know, how he and how you, you know, have had episodes where if viewed in a certain light, and only if you engage in an unmodified, unlimited hangout.
That's right.
Make it seem that he and you have engaged in certain kinds of acts, which...
Damn it, Haldeman, spit it out. They think this fellow violated the law. and spied on journalists and intimidated whistleblowers the way I was believed by some to have done at one time or another, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's the basic outline of the...
Well, I mean, who the hell could believe that?
Well, the media crowd.
No, I know, but still, I mean, has this fellow even thought of ransacking the office of Bradley Manning's psychiatrist, let alone put in the time and the effort?
Oh, my goodness, so much time.
And effort.
And effort.
Into an operation like that, I mean...
No,
it's ridiculous.
In fairness, though, I think they do have the logs of the mental health people who dealt with Manning once he was incarcerated. So.
No, but I mean, you know, a real black bag job. Go in there. Get everything.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
That is so far beyond the capability of these people, from what I can see.
Well.
And I mean, seizing the phone records, the goddamn Associated Press.
Yeah.
I mean, that's supposed to be like something we'd have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
When, in fact, what we would have done, what we would have tried like hell to do, was get a team together to firebomb the damn place. Is that true or not?
Absolutely. And we would have gotten damn close to doing it.
That's right. That's right. Just like
the Brookings Institution, which...
Which was far more dangerous than the damn Associated Press ever going to be.
That's right. That's right.
Not even close.
No. Not even in the same...
Not even in the same ballyard.
No. Now, of course, the multiple public explanations of what happened at Benghazi.
Well, of course, that's...
I mean, you know, given the fact that they were having to avoid exposing a CIA operation there and...
No, I know, but still, you don't think that we could have kept the lid on for as long as it took for the congressional interest to blow over?
No, I know.
You know, something else comes along.
Mm-hmm.
They scramble to hold hearings on that.
Sure.
That grabs the attention of the Jews who run the media.
That's right.
That's when you release the Benghazi stuff.
That's true, and we had the people...
Buchanan and such.
That's right, to hold them at bay.
That's right. I mean, you don't think Ron Ziegler could have faced down those reporters better than this carny kid?
Oh, no question. He'd have had them...
He'd have had them all yelling for his scalp instead of comparing me to...
No question about it.
To me.
Yep. No doubt.
No.
Yep.
Of course, you couldn't make those kinds of comparisons.
No way.
If the people who suppressed any centennial celebrations of my birth weren't running the whole damn place.
No. In a way, that's true.
Yeah.
But...
We can't set up any celebrations from up here, can we? I mean, we...
Not really. Except for Buchanan, all of our people are up here now.
Yeah. Oh, and Ben Stein.
Oh, and Kissinger, but he's not going to...
Oh, goodness, no. If he's busy arranging anything, it's a celebration to the centennial of his birth.
That's right.
Oh, well. Price you pay, I guess.
Beats the alternative.
Yep.
When I'm
Ladies and gentlemen, this week the president did deliver that speech referred to earlier, and in it he not only talked about the wanting to recast the war on terror and bring the wartime footing to a close, perhaps, but he also talked about, for the first time really in this amount of detail in public, about America's drone killing operation, and proposed in the speech something he had already proposed or talked about in White House circles before, which is to try to bring into more rule-based form the criteria for deciding who gets targeted for drone killings. And one such attempt is already underway.
Coming all too soon.
Designers, this time your challenge is one for the agents. You have just 2 days to design an attractive matrix for drone killings. And it has to be useful from day one minus.
Usually these challenges just call upon our positive creative instincts, so this is kind of refreshing. I mean, we're not killing anybody, but still.
This is as much a challenge for our judges as for our designers. After all, what does Michael Kors know about drones? We'll find out.
All designers, the White House just decided it needs this matrix by tonight. And the reason is oh so confidential, so it's rush, rush, rush.
I mean, I love my country and all, so this is a privilege, as well as a ball.
I mean, first they get rid of don't ask, don't tell, now this. Tell me I'm not dreaming.
Project Droneway. The new season. More suspense. More drama. More drones.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you're in it.
Project Droneway. Coming from Lifetime. We're the other Bravo.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of notes about our friend the Atom. The government avoided, the Japanese government avoided setting stringent radiation reference levels for the return of Fukushima evacuees because the government feared triggering a population drain and being hit by ballooning costs for compensation, according to the Asahi Shimbun. The revelation could rekindle debate over the government's safety standards. Yeah, I guess it could. Federal regulators in this country have indefinitely delayed a decision on the proposed restart of the San Onofre nuclear power plant in California, south of L.A., raising new questions about whether the twin reactors will ever produce electricity again. The German city of Hamburg narrowly avoided disaster at the beginning of this month when a freighter ship caught fire while moored at a wharf in the city center. It emerged the vessel had several tons of radioactive material and explosives among its cargo. Hello, Hamburg. An investigation by OSHA has determined that a contractor at Wolf Creek Generating Station in Kansas City, wrongfully fired an engineer who reported safety violations. Nice work. And at least 4 people and possibly up to 55 were exposed to radiation when radioactive material leaked during a laboratory experiment in Japan. The material also leaked outside the nuclear physics lab. The Japanese Atomic Energy Agency didn't report the leak to the government's nuclear regulator until more than 34 hours later. We may have been too lax, said a spokesman. News of the Atom, Addie's on a brief vacation. News of the Atom, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. But it still is clean, cheap, too safe to meter. Yeah, even Adams get to go on vacation. Not paid vacation. What do you think this is, France? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this weekend's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ The Planet. 7.490 megahertz shortwave on the Mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it, harryshearer.com and KCRW News. KCRW's all news feed. You can find it there somewhere. Available for your smartphone through Stitcher.com and available as a free podcast through iTunes and Sideshow Network. And it'd be just like not having a ship with uranium catch fire in your port if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. Uh-huh. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago in exile, and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead, and thanks to Jenny Lawson here at WWNO in New Orleans for help with today's broadcast. The email address for the broadcast and the playlist of the music heard here on, just some of the goodies at harryshearer.com. There's a swell store there, too, with swell stuff, swell store stuff. And this is your invitation to join the host of this program on Twitter at The Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of the Change is Hard Radio Network. So long from New Orleans.